you know, consider myself lucky to get the opportunity to speak and meet this morning with Dr. Kirk Overstreet. We just got a chance to talk about 30 seconds before we went on the air, and this is our first meeting, and it really is a privilege. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Good. That first week is something else. I was just giving him a hard time. So, you know, you got to find out where the bathrooms are, and then everything else goes behind that. And it's a long line, too. But, you know, first let's talk about you a little bit. Now, the last location you were at was the College of DuPage, correct?
That is correct, up in Glen Ellyn, Illinois.
So what'd you do there?
I was the assistant provost for instruction and several other positions before that.
You know, when I was reading your bios, I try to distill it, and it's, if I'm wrong, Kirk, I want you to correct me, and very quickly, it's like you are an educational coach is the way I look at this. You talk about words like encouragement and empowerment. And you know what I find interesting about these statements? For one, a coach, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all. The people who have been this way with me in my life are the ones who had the biggest impact on me.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I look to be, I like to think of myself as a mentor, a facilitator. I'm an educator, so I taught history for 12, 13 years as an adjunct faculty member at a local university up north. And I've always worked with all of my staff as a colleague and a mentor. So I look to help people find their aspirations and grow. And really, that's my whole mantra. We are here as an education facility for the community, for our students, for our larger community, to help people really enrich their lives really become what they want to become. And it's the best part of what we do here is driving for that student success, whatever that student success is. Sometimes that's getting a class, taking a pottery class, and sometimes that's getting a degree, and sometimes that's becoming a nurse. So a lot of different variations on what we do, especially here. That's what I love about working in the community college system. We have that opportunity to really be everything for everyone.
We're speaking with Dr. Kirk Overstreet this morning. You know, it really doesn't matter what it is, because when I listen to you speak, it's the first thing I thought is lit learnings about an attitude.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you want to learn. People want to learn, and that's the important part. We have great faculty here on campus, but we also have great staff, and they're all so imbued with the idea of learning and giving that opportunity to our students and our community.
So University of Illinois Chicago, University of Illinois Associate Director of Human Resources, then to Lewis University, you just referenced this, an instructor of history. Is that your spark, history?
Yeah, actually, kind of a funny story is that my spark was science fiction. I'm a big science fiction geek, and back when I was an undergrad many, 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 many moons ago, I had a struggling in a history class, and a professor, and this is where I got my ideas on wanting to be an instructor. I had a professor look at me and say, you know, history is just science fiction in reverse. Yeah. And I thought, wow, and totally changed my whole attitude about wanting to go into history and looking at history from a different point of view.
Oh, I'm going to have to try to out-geek you now. You know this, right? Because I'm a huge science fiction fan, right, from all the way back when. So I'm going to have to out-geek you someday. That should be fun.
All right.
So
that sounds good.
So who's your favorite writer?
Asimov has always been one of my favorites. I love the Foundation series. But, my name is Kirk. So I got to tell you, I have watched and read every Star Trek, every version of Star Trek that there is.
See, I'm Frank Herbert, Larry Niven, James S. A. Corey,
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Larry Niven in particular, and Frank Herbert, of course, Dune. So maybe we'll get to go see the movies together. Now, here's the thing. You know, once upon a time, Dr. Overstreet, it was junior college, right? And this diminutive view of it, that it was a high school with ashtrays, was one of the phrases that was once used. And, and the role of community colleges has changed, and the role at John A. Logan College and its synergy with SIU has changed and matured. When you have the President of the United States, numerous presidents of the United States, during their State of the Union address, calling for community colleges to jump into the breach, whether it's creating more nurses or whatever the case. It's happened repeatedly over the last 20 years. Community colleges have been called on because they're fleet of foot when it comes to responding to what communities need when it comes to an educated populace.
Absolutely. You know, that's the thing about community colleges. We have the ability to be nimble and agile. And that's hard to do in higher ed. All of higher ed tends to work at a glacial speed. But community colleges, we can be responsive. So we can come up with a program when we need to build a program, and we can do it rather quickly. So we really do fill that niche. And we have expanded so beyond what we would traditionally have called just that 2 years of a career tech or that 2 years of a transfer. We're down in the high schools with dual credit now. We're out there. We're doing. We'll be working here at John A. Logan on some 2+2s and some 3+1s. And these are new concepts here, but they're concepts we've been working with at some of my prior institutions, and that's really partnering with SIU, partnering with other universities and 4-year colleges to really give an edge and an opportunity for our students to advance. And, you know, and as I mentioned before, the one thing that's beautiful about community college, we really do support everyone we support kids from when they're in junior high school and a little bit beyond that, all the way up until you're in your 90s. And we offer that with that comprehensive community college idea, that ability to come here, to not have to worry about going and applying for a 4-year college. You can walk in the door tomorrow. You can get your application done in a half an hour, and you can be in your class on next Tuesday.
And should we also mention the price difference, too? Because, I mean, when it comes to the cost of education, you've seen the statistics shift. You've been in the business long enough to see people questioning the value of higher education when it comes to dollar per dollar. And I think community college plays a role in that marketplace.
Absolutely. You know, that's really where we're striving right now, and some of the great strides that we're doing in all of community college across the nation. Again, with the dual credit, dual enrollment initiatives, we're getting students 15 hours of their college education done before they even leave high school, and then they're coming here and they're finishing up their undergrad, their 2 years of transfer undergrad, or they're coming in and getting their career at a fraction, more than a fraction of the cost it would take them to go to a 4-year institution. And that's not to put down 4-year institutions. They're important. The research aspect of our universities, the liberal arts focus of our small independent colleges are really important. But we offer that ability for people to come in, save a huge amount of money, and get a leg up and not walk out of their university or into their career owing hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You know, it's interesting, and you were talking about how working with a junior high or a high school, I've already seen this happen at John A. Logan College. I've got a friend of mine's son, sharp fella, Murfreesboro, and started taking classes, John A. Logan College advanced classes in computers. Well, he's grown up now, and guess where he's at? Right, he's doing the very same thing that he started on, and he got way ahead of all of his peers. Because he was young, smart, and his parents helped him facilitate taking him to John A. Logan College. So I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand and how it affects. And here's the thing, and this sounds gauche, and I don't mean it to be this way, but he makes a lot of money. And who doesn't want to, you know, be secure, happy, and comfortable? Now, here's the problem that you are already familiar with because you've been working in colleges in Illinois, from the University of Chicago to DuPage and on the list goes. Money. And all I see is going forward is this is going to be a constant thing, but then I'm thinking, well, when hasn't been? But there's a level of desperation maybe now in our future that maybe we've not experienced before.
You know, yeah, funding for our higher ed institutions is getting more and more difficult, especially with the rising costs. The competition between some of the universities has really started to show. And especially here in Illinois, we've had a lot of outward migration, right? A lot of our fellow universities outside of the state are looking to find ways to get students to come to them. So they're pulling out all the stops. And we've got to find some creative influx about what we do here in the state to help us with our funding issues. And I think, you know, one of those things is to really to hunker down and to work together. Our community colleges need to work with our land-grant universities. They need to work with our local colleges and really partner more effectively about getting our students to transfer into those colleges and kind of keeping the funds here in the state, which will help our funding issues all around.
Here's a great note that just came in on the My American Monument text line this morning. Dr. Kirk Overstreet, new president, John A. Lund College, joining us, says, community colleges equal educational ninjas. Would that be a fair statement? I love that.
Yeah, that's an awesome statement. I would agree.
Yeah.
We have that ability to do anything that we can to help our community. And basically, we are that nimble. We still have to go through hoops and steps, and there's different things that we have to do in order to get a program up and running. But we can get a program up and running in about 6 months.
But, you know, and I've people who have listened to the station have heard me talk about this, and I read this report about 4 weeks ago from Deutsche Bank talking about how the pandemic has accelerated everything. And I think that's relevant in the atmosphere that we're talking about today because of online learning, the situation we find them in, the ability to continue to serve and be an educational ninja. But at this point, being able to deliver that education into people's homes while still understanding you have to come down and learn how to use the new MRI machine. There are some things that are hand-on. You've got one of those machines that were a couple of years ago donated now, and the X-ray machines and other things in imagery that you're doing. Some of this stuff's hand-on, but you've got to learn how to complete this task now with a lot more technical expertise.
Yeah, you know, and our faculty really have jumped up to the challenge, right? They're out there right now. About 80% of our classes are online right now during the pandemic. Our 20% are here, about 20% are here on campus in a hybrid format so that we're mitigating contact between students and faculty and students and students so that we're making sure that people are safe, but they're getting that hands-on training they need. But then we have had our faculty have jumped to the chance to be online, to teach online. And it's not an easy task. Teaching online is hard in better circumstances, but our faculty here have really you can see the grit. I had a conversation with a couple of our faculty the other day, and just talking with them about how they were able to pivot and change their classes to be online so that we could serve our students and continue to get that education done for them in a timely fashion.
You know, there has been a new committee created in the state of Illinois to fight poverty and create economic security. And it's just been created. Senator Del Fowler is on it. Is there a role that community colleges play in fighting poverty in a given community or region?
Absolutely. I think one of our precepts, one of our mantras is about social justice and making sure that we get out to everyone and give them the education they need. You know, our public school system here in the state and in the nation, basically, really changed everyone's attitude about education, free education all the way up through high school. Now, our community colleges, we're here to help continue on that historical movement of getting the education to our people and getting it to their homes. And now we have an opportunity with technology and a way to really get that out to folks. You know, we serve a very large community here. We serve people who live as far as an hour away. And so having the ability to socially give them the opportunities by helping them with technology, to get technology into their homes so that they can take classes with us and get that education and really reduce costs and help bring people up, right, and give them opportunity. And I think our career tech fields, really, the other piece that we're going to be focusing on here and across the nation, we have a crumbling infrastructure in the United States. We have bridges that need to be rebuilt. We have roads that need to be rebuilt. And we need people that are trained on how to do these kinds of work and get these have these opportunities for them as well. And we really have a niche for that.
You know, I've got two questions, and I'll let you go. I don't want to keep you too long, Dr. Overstreet, Dr. Kirk Overstreet. I'm sure he's got a lot of things to do today, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person, too. But until then, I'm kind of curious about one thing in particular about you. What is your goal? And I find whenever I get a new job or a new position within a company that I very quickly find my own goals. I also find quickly that reality has a tendency to put my goals in the back seat, and I don't care for that. But let's pretend we don't got backseat. Nothing's going to get in the way. Your goal. What do you want to accomplish at John A. Logan College, intrinsic to your position as president?
So I think my overall goal, my overall mission here is to promote the education that we have here to help our community grow, to help our community grow economically. My goal is to really make John A. Logan, which is already an excellent institution here in Southern Illinois, but to really make it shine. I want to see us out at conferences. I want to showcase the good works that our faculty are doing, the good work our staff is doing, and I really want to get our students on their tracks. This is my I'm the product of community college. I went to community college. I restarted my career in community college. My daughter started her education in a community college. I believe in our mission. And so my goal is to continue to make that goal happen for our college here, to really make it shine.
Before I let you go, one final question. You go all the way back, high school, we'll say it. You got to start your higher education over again. You're going to go to school, doesn't matter where, but you don't get to be in history. What do you pick? The things that you know now and all the things that you've learned, if you get to go all the way back but you don't get to pick history, what do you pick to be an expertise?
Well, you know, my first career was I got into construction. I was an electrician, and I think that if I were to go back, not go into history, I probably would have gone into construction management. I like building, and I like making things happen. I like fixing things.
Yeah.
So I think that my second love in life is to construct things and build things, and I think that that would have been a good niche for me.
Yeah, I think I would have gone, if I get to go back, I go to engineering, SIU, architecture.
Yeah.
You know, build a building, something built. Because I grew up on the farm, and I look back now, and I wish I'd never left. And because you could look at the end of the day and see the rows straight and the field is done, and you're in my business, you never have that. You never look back and say, "Oh, we're done." It never finishes,
right? And that is very true for here. We don't finish. We have students come in, they graduate, and then we have another cohort of students here, and so we're always moving forward. And that's a fun thing to be part of. But I agree with you 100%. And you can ask my daughter; she lives up in upper by Chicago now. But when she was growing up, I could drive her around the city and point to a corner and say, yep, I built that corner.
Right.
I put those lights up.
And I was like that to the end of the cornfield. I planted that cornfield. I planted that wheat. I grew that rabbit. I grew that pheasant. On the list goes. You know, it's just interesting to note, coming, we were talking about science fiction. Apparently, Dr. Overstreet and I are big science fiction fans, so we are going to be challenging to some trivia at some point. And we got gentlemen, what government system did Heinlein have in Starship Troopers, where citizenship was earned by service, right? One of my favorite, one of my all-time favorite books. I used to keep it on my dashboard when I was in the waiting in line somewhere. I'd read Starship Troopers.
Yep.
So, big fan of that. Dr. Overstreet, hey, I really appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person and learning more about your goals and you keeping us informed of what's going on at John A. Logan College.
Well, thanks for having me on this morning. It was really great to meet you. I do look forward to meeting you, and I'm looking forward to our challenge on science fiction.